Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
All right, good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. Oh, what a gorgeous morning. Not like that orange sky that we had at one point last week that you took a picture of and tweeted up, but this is just, it is glorious. It's supposed to be warm the whole week, right? This is just baby blue, man. This is like, I just heard the promo. Carolina playing my beloved orange tonight.
Uh-huh.
This is like Carolina blue. This is like a Carolina blue sky right now.
It is gorgeous out there.
Roy Williams would see it and probably start crying.
Yeah.
Although it's March. He always cries in March. Win or lose, he cries.
Got a plane going through the air. See those contrails behind it?
Contrails. Good word.
Yeah.
Way to go, you. So, how about this for a little bit of irony? So, let me see if I get this straight.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't it last week, beginning of last week, you came out and said...
That was 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. It was after that really cold weekend.
Yeah.
And you were like, hey, I was kind of bored. I had nothing to do, so I looked at some Zach Wilson cut-ups.
Yeah.
And the quote you had was what?
What did I say exactly? It was something like, I'm not so sure that Zach Wilson isn't as good or better than Trevor Lawrence.
To which the boys in the afternoon.
Oh yeah, it was a big guff. What was it? A big guffaw.
Big guffaw.
Right there. Oh, slapping their knees.
Yeah.
Stink doesn't watch college football. He doesn't know anything. D-Mac's like, I studied the tape. I was riding my bike and I studied the tape. You know, and oh, I mean, just on and on and on. It goes with those two.
Right. So imagine my surprise when I heard this promo running this morning.
Tyler is ready to get his guy.
Number one on my board is Zach Wilson, quarterback.
Oh!
From BYU. I am all in on doing whatever it takes to go get Zach Wilson. Got to go to number two. We got to go. I'm in on Zach Wilson. I know his offensive coordinator from last year. He's absolutely sold me on the kid. Let's go.
Should the Broncos move up?
Well. What do we have? What do we have here?
Interesting. So D-Mac didn't dismiss Tyler.
I hope
Tyler came up with Zach Wilson on the board.
Did D-Mac just shoot him down? Did he guffaw?
I don't know.
I don't think he did. I don't think he did.
No, it didn't sound like he did.
Hmm.
So 2 weeks ago, I'm an idiot, right?
Right.
2 weeks ago, it's just, oh, what, Stink doesn't know anything. He doesn't watch college football. He's a, you know, he's a pro football. It's all he watches. Now all of a sudden it's a great idea, right?
Right. So
it's like dealing with your kids, you know, when you tell them something,
right,
it's never a good idea when you tell it. Until it becomes their idea,
right.
It's a bad idea.
Right.
As soon as they embrace it and they think they, like, you've got to lead your kids into thinking something is great and thinking, like, that you have to lead them down this path to where they grab onto the idea and think that they created themselves.
Right.
Right. Before it's a good idea.
Hey, Dad, I got this idea. And you're like,
no, really?
Really?
Well,
okay, whatever. You know, hey, as long as you come around to it. So, here's a little bit more fuel from Mount Plumbus's fire.
Mm-hmm.
Peter King's Football Morning in America article, he talks at length about Zach Wilson, and Wilson's story is fascinating. Going into this year, he was definitely at a crossroads. He was in an open competition for the BYU job, and many weekends, late last spring and early summer, he would drive 10 hours, 675 miles from BYU to California to work out with this quarterback coach, quarterback tutor. And once they got shut down, the BYU program got shut down for COVID, he ended up spending a month and a half in California working with this guy. And during that time that he was there, he would work DoorDash to make some money.
Right. Pay for gas.
Pay for gas and all that. And it got to the point when he even got back to BYU, he did some DoorDash. You know, and people would post stories on social media like, hey, I think Zach Wilson just delivered my food.
Right.
Kind of thing, right? So it's a cool story. And if you're a Zach Wilson fan and you really want to buy into this guy's hype, I mean, he certainly seems to have the work ethic and the character.
I love the fact that here's a kid that, you know, is not too proud to go out there and earn a few bucks while he's trying to live out his dream. Like, nobody ever sees that. My dad used to tell me all the time, overnight success takes 7 to 15 years, you know. You got to work, man. You got to be willing to work. Put it in. That to me just makes him that much more desirable. The fact that that guy is serving up DoorDash to pay his gas bills, that mommy and daddy aren't just writing checks to him, that to me is big, man. That's a big character building aspect of what I want on my quarterback. So,
all right. So, combination of now you know the backstory a little bit,
mm-hmm.
in addition to what you've seen, is Tyler right? This was your thing first. So, does this prove that you are right, endorsed by Tyler, that the Broncos should move up? Do whatever it takes. Forget about the ransom to pay for Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Pay less and move up and get Zach Wilson.
I said it a couple of weeks ago. If George Payton feels like Zach Wilson is that guy, that you're going to be able to build around him, you're going to be able to put him in something, you know, that where he'll have success, like build an offense around him. If you feel like he's that guy, then I would not hesitate to move up to number two. I said that 2 weeks ago. Of course, nobody made a promo out of it then, right? It wasn't popular or what? Like I wasn't cool enough or what happened there? What happened?
You're just not a college football guy.
I'm not, I don't participate in the little silly, you know, collages we have in the studio, and I make fun of all the stuff that, you know, all the big boards of possibility and stuff. So
I just am blown away by the irony.
Just the 180.
From Mount Columbus.
The 180.
All of a sudden.
Mount Columbus.
Well, I'll be curious to hear what the boys have to say about that. I hope Tyler gives you your due.
We'll see.
Gives you your proffers.
I went from ha-ha-ha, guy never watches anything, to, this is our guy.
Go get him. All right, coming up, a potential wrench thrown in the whole quarterback carousel. We'll tell you about it next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
It has been fun, but it's kind of dizzying. Dizzying? Makes you dizzy. How about that?
Yeah.
Just makes you dizzy trying to follow all these potential moves with this quarterback carousel going on and where everybody's going to end up. Well, let's just throw this into the mix. So Drew Brees. I think we're all under the assumption that was it for Drew Brees, right?
He was going to retire.
Certainly seemed to be acting that way after the Saints lost to the Bucks in the playoffs. He looked like a guy that was it.
Right.
Well, his personal trainer posted a video of Brees working out over the weekend in which, I'm sorry, that did not look like just some, you know, 40-year-old dude looking to get a little sweat on during the weekend.
Right.
The guy was pushing. Like, it was like one of those It's like those wooden things that Rich Newton used to make.
They're just sleds.
They're just sleds with weights on them.
Right.
And wheels, right?
No. They just have skid plates on.
No, you're right. Just skid plates. So yeah. The video has him pushing this sled with weights on it. Basically, it looks like through a parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
Where they set up a workout station. And he goes back and forth. And this trainer posts the whole video. And I mean, Breeze is working. Leading to speculation that Breeze ain't done yet. And now, then he wants to come back.
Yeah, I've heard through credible sources that Breeze is planning to come back. Now, whether that's right or not, I don't know. But it does open up an opportunity.
Because then what happens with Taysom Hill? What happens with
Jameis Winston? Because right. Jameis Winston, the speculation that Jameis Winston was going to re-sign a long-term deal with the Saints to become the quarterback. Now, if Drew Brees comes back, he's not going to want to sign a long-term deal. He wants an opportunity to start, right? So now think about D-Mac's quarterback room. You could have Jameis Winston, Cam Newton, you have Drew Locke, you draft Mac Jones.
And Kellen Mond. Because it's all about the room.
Right. So now you've got, I mean, think about that room.
Whew. A lot of quarterbacks.
Yeah.
A lot of options.
Yeah, lots of options. So you've got, that's a lot of guys.
Mike Tannenbaum, who used to be the, salary cap,
well,
guru,
he was the GM of the too. Jets, then he was the GM of Miami, and, you know, he's been a GM several different places.
So I saw him on ESPN out of the corner of my eye. He was talking about Breeze. He said the Saints need to say no thanks to Breeze. And Breeze can come back if he wants, but the Saints should say no. He calls Breeze, quote, a progress stopper. And at this point, Breeze is, at best, the fifth or sixth best quarterback in the NFC.
The fifth or sixth best quarterback in the NFC?
In the NFC.
Okay.
Now, is Drew Breeze the fifth or sixth best quarterback in the NFC still better than Jameis Winston? And
yes.
Taysom Hill?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, I'm just like... So your problem with having the fifth or sixth best quarterback in the division or in the NFC.
But do you want to go with that on a year to year basis, or do you at some point have to rip off the Band-Aid and say, hey, we got to go off in another direction. We just spent a year of football rehab with Jameis Winston and we're prepared to make him our quarterback of the future. And maybe we'll take a momentary step back.
Is Drew Brees better than everybody in the NFC East?
Tell me where Dak Prescott's gonna be.
Well, I mean, is Dak Prescott gonna be 100% healthy? Right now.
Right now, I would still take Dak over. Well, yeah, I'd still take Dak over Brees. Assuming he's healthy. If he's out there playing, I'm assuming he's healthy, then yeah.
Alright, so
that would take Dak.
Russell
over.
Wilson's better.
Yeah.
I think Stafford's better. But, you know, in San Francisco, Arizona, have they won anything yet? Chicago, Minnesota, or Detroit? Anybody better there than Drew Brees? Obviously, Aaron Rodgers is.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. So you've got three right now. And then Tampa Bay, or Brady, Carolina, Atlanta. I would take Matt Ryan over. So right now, that's 3, 4, 5. He would be the sixth based on that. We just figured out who the six are, right? Does that give you a chance with one of the most complete rosters in football to compete in the NFC? Sure. Is it long term? Are you long term competitive? No. Does he give you a better chance than Taysom Hill or Jameis Winston?
For next year, yes.
Sure.
But are the Saints in a position where they should be looking year to year, or should they start to take a longer view? Because it comes down to, and you've done some Saints games. I'll ask you, because this does swing back towards the Broncos, because Winston is a possibility. So you tell me, do they really like Winston? They had a chance when Breeze was out To start Winston, they went with Hill.
That's how much they like Winston. Hey, Winston has been great. I mean, you talk to Sean Payton, he has been great. He's been a total pro. He's been as good as he could be. But when push came to shove and they had an opportunity to start him, you know who they started? Taysom Hill. And here's the bottom line with that, Mike. Hey, if Russell Wilson becomes available, would you move on from Drew Brees? Yes. Hey, if Deshaun Watson wants to come to the Saints, would you move on from Drew Brees? Yes. Are you moving on from Drew Brees if you're picking 29th or 30th? Nope. You're not. So, to me, hey man, play it out another year. Run it back for one more year. And then we'll see where we sit at that point.
Coming up, four down territory, more football. Those of us who can't get enough, oh, I've got good news for you. That's next.
I want Mason Glory help.
This is four down territory.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Pound it, launch it, and bring the funk.
Now, if you want to drown them, then crown their ass.
I want to kiss you.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. You just don't flop it out there and expect to perform like that.
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan. First down.
Here's the snap to Deshaun. Throws over the middle. Got a man. First down, Brooks. Left side, 15, 10, 5. He's in. Touchdown, Houston.
Texans Radio. John McClain, yippee-ki-yay, who is he's the most prominent media voice in Houston, came out this weekend and said, Texans need to start entertaining trade offers for Deshaun Watson. Now, this is a guy who has a pretty good view of the whole scene, and it's in his opinion that Deshaun Watson's not going to blink, Deshaun Watson's not going to cave, and it's in the Texans' best interest to move on. Think they follow his advice?
Adam Schefter came out this morning and said the Houston Texans are not trading Deshaun Watson. So, I mean... At some point, they either have to mend fences, and it doesn't seem like they're in any hurry, right?
Nope.
I mean, David Culley talked to him last week, and David Culley's the new head coach of the Houston Texans. A phone conversation, and nothing was resolved, and Deshaun Watson still says he wants to leave. So, I mean, you would think that if something was going to get fixed, or they were going to, you know, extend the proverbial olive branch, they'd be extending it right now, as opposed to just digging their heels and saying, we're not trading you.
All right, is this stubbornness or is this part of a evil genius plan here? And that is this. We hold on to him. He's not going to lose any of his value. And our situation is going to be so bad. I mean, it is just flat out NBA, MLB tank job. And we put ourselves in a position to ensure that we have the number one overall pick next year. And at that point, we still get the haul that we'll get for Deshaun. But in order to do all this, we got to hold on to him and dig our heels in. I mean, that has to be it. If they're serious about not trading him, that has to be the mindset, as opposed to thinking that somehow they're just going to win him over by holding his feet to the fire, right?
Yeah, you would think. I mean, then we have the number one overall pick, and then we secure ourselves a couple of first rounds, a couple more first round picks, and then a couple others,
right?
In 23 and whatever it is. But boy, I tell you what, that's a lot of pain that you got to go through.
A lot of pain. They're going to be going through a lot of pain regardless, though,
right?
And maybe this is a way to just, you know, set themselves up to rebound quicker. That's in four down territory.
Second down.
Shotgun snap. Looks to the end zone. Steps away from one man. Throws to the back of the end zone. Touchdown! Seahawks! David Moore loses his defender under the goalpost. Makes the catch. That play made by Russell Wilson, who had somebody grab a hold of his foot.
Seahawks radio. Now, again, the agent for Russell Wilson reiterating that we haven't demanded a trade. But hey, if the Seahawks do want to trade him, here are the four teams on this list. Again, the Cowboys, the Saints, the Raiders, and the Bears. Yeah, I think it comes back down to Russell Wilson seeing what Tom Brady had, He was at the Super Bowl. He saw firsthand Brady gain a chance to pick where he wanted to go, have input into the offense, have input into the personnel, and he wants it too. And especially with that athletic story that came out that said he walked into a meeting with Pete Carroll and Brian Schottenheimer prior to a Thursday night game with all kinds of ideas as to what to do to jumpstart the offense, and he was basically just told to, you know, keep it to himself. And he apparently stormed out of the meeting.
Well, now, if that was before a Thursday night game, how much can you actually put in before a Thursday night game?
Okay, but you don't come back. Then after that, you have a mini bye. You don't come back after that and say, hey, Russ, listen, we really took into account everything you came up with. We got 10 days now to plan for it. Let's really sit down and implement it. Let's work together.
Obviously, I wasn't there, but I've done a bunch of games with Russell Wilson, with Pete Carroll, with Brian Schottenheimer, and to act as though they don't listen, and they, like, come on now. I mean, they are, Brian Schottenheimer, I believe Brian Schottenheimer and Russell Wilson were very connected that way. So, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on there, but I just have never felt at any time that this was inspired by Russell Wilson. This feels like an agent move. This feels like people inside his camp saying, we need to push for this. So, you know, for a guy that doesn't want to be traded and hopes to spend the rest of his career here in Seattle, but if I was going to be traded, you know, these are the four teams I want to be traded to. It just feels a bit disingenuous.
Next in four down territory.
Third down. I feel very blessed to be in this position, to be back in a situation where I'm starting again.
Johnny Manziel, joined by Josh Gordon, as members of the FCF Zappers. What is the FCF, you say? The fan-controlled football league, which will begin play this month. It features 7-on-7 games in which fans set rosters, call plays, and interact in a blend of traditional and esports environments. How do you forecast the long-term success of the FCF? They're going to play a 6-week schedule with games live streamed on Twitch from a league-based facility in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Games last about an hour, fields 50 by 35 yards. Players will have backgrounds from the FBS and FCS college levels, along with the CFL, XFL, and indoor football league.
Yeah. I'm going to say that I'll hold off judgment. I mean, based upon spring leagues and what has happened, you know, the bottom line, the problem is everybody tries to compare it to the National Football League. Like, if you don't have
this isn't even close.
Right. But if you don't have a real chance of the players in this league moving on and having, you know, a success story at the NFL, do people really... I don't know. I mean, but there are plenty of people that love the esports stuff, right?
Yeah, I'll take a look. See what it looks like.
Okay.
Now, the fan involvement could be a difference maker. We shall see. Mm-hmm. Next in four down territory.
Fourth down.
I've been thinking about it a lot in the shower.
All right, folks. It looks like it's coming. NFL, 17 games next year.
Yeah.
Now, as a broadcast, you probably love that. That's an extra week.
One more week on the road.
Right.
One more Friday night dinner.
Oh, you love those Friday night dinners. A lot of steaks.
Yeah.
A lot of steaks.
Another pound. 17 pounds over the course of 17 weeks.
But
bad week. Not bad.
The former player in you. Mixed in with the football fan in you. What do you think of it?
Listen, I think it's inevitable. I'm okay. I'm okay with it. The way the guys practice today, and like the game has suffered from a skill set standpoint to some degree, but not enough to hurt the popularity of the game. Because people don't really care about the intricacies of the game. They just want to see touchdowns, right? They just want to see fantasy players explode. So, I'm okay.
Is there a point where we could reach too much football? We expanded the playoffs this year.
It was a good thing.
Nobody had a problem with it. So now you're talking about extending the regular season. At what point does it get to be too much? 18 games in a season? 19? 20? I mean, as of right now, I don't see an end for people's thirst for football.
No. I tell you where you'll kind of, what do they call that, jump the shark? Or
yeah.
I'll tell you where that'll happen to you is if you start having a bunch of quarterbacks and prominent players missing a ton of time. Like Drew Brees last year breaking every report he had three more broken ribs. So, you know, at the end of it, he had 37 broken ribs at one point, I think. But when you start losing your prominent fantasy players because of just wear and tear and overuse injuries and stuff, there's a point of diminishing returns. So you're going to have to make sure.
You have some load management games.
Oh my gosh.
That term will come to the NFL, I bet. Although they'll work in an extra bye, but maybe that'll be enough, but who knows?
Yeah.
Load management.
Let's hope not. Let's hope that we don't get to that point.
That'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the NFL. Got a lot to bounce off Troy Rank, our Denver 7 insider. He'll join us next. All right, time to chop it up a little bit with our Denver 7 insider, Troy Rank. Presented by ROX, Rocks Heating and Air. Morning, Troy.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Oh, we're doing great, man. Chopping it up. And, hey, man, when McClain out in Houston says that it's time for the Houston Texans to get rid of Deshaun Watson, to move on from Deshaun Watson, I mean, he's got some juice in the Houston area. Conflicting reports. Where are we right now on the Deshaun Watson, potential moving of Deshaun Watson out of Houston?
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a change in posture for John. I mean, he's been doing this for almost 40 years. Great guy. Unbelievably connected. So for him to say that suggests that he knows Watson is not going to play for the Texans, because initially John said all along, there's no way they're trading Deshaun Watson, which is illogical, but I don't think people appreciated how dug in Watson was and is. You know, loyalty to him matters. And the problem traces right back to McNair and Jack Easterby. It's not the new GM. It's not the new coach. He had a Zoom meeting with them, and nothing got resolved. He was basically like, great to meet you. I'm not going to play here. And it's because of the owner and his team chaplain / life coach / de facto GM that Watson's over it. And so the question is, when does this stare down end? I would think the deadline is going to be the draft, because if you want to get a first-round pick this year, if it's the Dolphins 2 or the Jets and Dolphins picks at 2 and 3 or even the Broncos at 9, you have to make this decision before the draft, because you're not going to get that pick after the draft, obviously. So that would be, for me, kind of the first hard deadline. We'd all like it to be by March 17th or 15th, if you will, for a free agency. There's no way he's going to be traded by then. They're going to probably, my guess, exhaust all options up until the first round of the draft. And at that point, they're going to have to make a decision.
You know, if you're waving the white flag with a Deshaun Watson trade, why not go full tank and hold on to him for the year and maybe recoup some money, be able to go after his signing bonus, that kind of thing, and just be so bad that you play yourself into the number one overall pick and know that you still have Watson and he's not going to lose any of his value a year from now. So if you're going to really wave the white flag, wave it. And is that their motivation, perhaps, for holding on to him?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, that's something that makes sense when you look at it on paper. It's hard to do with your fan base, with the people in the building, with your own players. It's just not as practical as it sounds when you say, who cares about this year? Well, let's let him sit out. Well, it's a horrible message to send to other players that you ever want to bring to your organization, that you're just going to kind of arrogantly say, see, you'll never play. And I disagree in terms of, he won't lose his value, but you lose value as a franchise if you just, to this point, we're just not going to trade him. And how does that make you better in the interim? You don't have your quarterback. You don't get any of the assets for him. And now other players are looking around the league like, what is going on in Houston? I just think the shrapnel from that would not be worth it. It just gets to a point where you got to move him. You got to move him. And I think that deadline, again, is the first round of the draft in the very end of April.
I know we've been talking a lot about this and a lot about quarterbacks and a lot about, you know, do you move up in the draft to draft one of these quarterbacks that are coming out and all this, you know, all this, that, and the other. What is the damage to Drew Lock at this point irreparable, or can they salvage Drew Lock if they can't make a trade for a Watson, or they don't move up in the draft? Like, where are you with what's going on with Drew Lock and the Broncos right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair question. I certainly don't think the damage is irreparable with Lock. I mean, this hasn't been a great offseason for him, but Drew has thick skin. He grew up competing as an athlete. He's using this as motivation. He's taking it the right way from everyone I've talked to. And if he was able to have a normal offseason with OTAs, that would help him tremendously. I'm not sure that's going to happen, not with him, but just the league in general. I do think there'll be some version of training camp and, you know, some preseason, but this idea that April OTAs are going to start up and it's going to be look like it used to, I don't know about that. That hasn't been conveyed yet. Now, it might, but that to plan on it being a normal offseason, I think, would be naive. In the case of Drew, you know, they would go with him as starter. It's just basically they've had a wandering eye all offseason. It's like, well, if we have to, we'll play him. And it's not like they can't stand the guy, like he was, you know, they think he has no chance. It's just they know in that division in the AFC, you got to play way significantly better at that position. If you just judge Drew by, you know, he started for a year and a half, and a lot of the metrics, 23 touchdowns, 18 picks, it's not horrible. It's just in a time where everything's being microwaved in the NFL and young quarterbacks are coming in and playing extremely well, including Herbert, they can't keep waiting. That's kind of the problem. And is this who he is? That's really the issue with Drew is, are we seeing a guy that's just going to be inconsistent with the football and careless with the football, or with a normal offseason, first time with a repeat coordinator, would he take that next step and be 30 touchdowns and 13 picks and be able to keep them in games? They're not saying he can't, but obviously if they thought he could, they wouldn't be having a wandering eye this whole offseason.
Well, the Rockies are 1-0 in Cactus League play as they had a well-pitched game. They win 5-2 over the Diamondbacks. And I want to ask you, for all the doomsayers out there when it comes to what the Rockies are going to do, is there enough potential in their pitching staff, starting rotation and relievers, to think that they could surpass expectations?
I mean, if you're saying 70 wins, I guess I think they're going to lose 100 games, and for two reasons. I like the rotation. They're going to compete from the front end, but they got to be way better than they've been. The Freeland, Gray, you know, Senzatella, Marquez, they got a chance to be good early. But you look at the pen, there's just so many question marks when you get beyond Gibbons and Oberg. And if Oberg's healthy, and let's hope he is, fingers crossed, because of, you know, the blood clotting and things he's gone through. Let's hope he is, because that would give him a chance. If you're saying how do they get to 70 wins, it's that. They start off fast from a rotation standpoint, and their eighth and ninth inning guys for, you know, through April and May are good. And then they could win 70 games. I just don't know with Oberg. I got to see it. And they're light in the pen right now. And then you get to August 1st. I can't imagine Trevor Story's on the team. So if you're already a bad team and you trade him, that doesn't make you better. And it's not like there's a bunch of waves of young players they've been blocking that we're going to see in August. Like you're going to, oh, there's three or four prospects. I mean, their best prospect is Brendan Rodgers. They've had a one pitching prospect, the kid from Ole Miss, the lefty, that should be up at some point, but they don't have a bunch of young guys. So how could they do it, Mike? They pitch really well early and the eighth and ninth inning guys overachieve. And then that way they're competitive for the first couple of months, but it's going to be a real challenge, no doubt, especially with L.A. and San Diego in the division. You know, L.A. could win 105 games, and San Diego might win 96, 97.
Yeah, but what if they win the Cactus League? Hang a banner, Troy, because that'll be fun. Hey, we always appreciate you, buddy. Thank you so much.
You got it, my man. See ya.
All right, Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Insider, presented by ROX Rocks Heating and Air. We got question mark coming up in a couple of minutes. Still getting in with a question if you want. Hashtag question mark. And we'll do that here. Let's get you some of your texts on the Ramoslav.com text line. This one. The reality is Watson does not want to come to Denver. He can refuse any trade, and Denver cannot offer a better deal than what the other teams in the fight for him can offer. I just don't see a way he comes here unless he just demands to play for Denver, which will not happen. Well, why? Every report out there seems to indicate, and this is coming from insiders like Troy Rank, that believe that the Broncos would be on his list. Now, would they be the favorite? And would he nullify any trade unless it is just one particular team? Look, if the guy wants out of Houston so badly, at some point he needs to understand the Texans have to get the best deal they can for him. He can't just be like, hey, all right, I want out no matter what, and now you're telling me that you're not getting enough from this team that I want to go to, but you're getting more from this team, but this is a team that I said I might be willing to go to. You know, at some point, he's got to, if he really wants out, he's got to be able to play ball with the Texans in that regard.
Yeah, there's no question, but you cannot, like he's already said, there was a report last week that the Texans had said he'd okayed the Jets, or not the Texans, but that his people had okayed the Jets, Miami, and Carolina, right? And then we got, you know, 2 weeks ago was, hey, Denver was the front runner. I don't know where the wise guys in Vegas are right now on who's the front runner for the Deshaun Watson trade, or if that's just cooled down because the Texans keep saying, we're not trading him.
Broncos continue to be at the front of the, at the front of the list.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys, these guys know. I don't know how they know. They know. And if they continue to feel like the Broncos have a really good chance, really good odds, I'm not going to discount that. I'm not going to discount that and say they're entirely wrong. Pay no attention to them. They're wrong. No, Deshaun Watson has no interest in coming here. I'm sorry.
They built plenty of buildings out there by people who don't think they know what they're doing. So that for sure, that for sure is like if they've got odds on it, they put those odds out there because they've got great information, right? They know what they're doing.
Yeah, they do. Here's another one. 17 games now, huh, for the NFL? Well, that 2,000 yards rushing will be easier and done far more often. 5,000 yards passing will be easier, done far more often. 20 sacks will be a tad bit easier and will happen a bit more often. My point is that this is ruining the record books.
Who gives a rip? I mean, this is not the baseball. And even baseball has been, you know, the records have been diminished to some degree.
Well, they used to play, 156 games?
Yeah.
You know, and that changed the record books.
All right, Mr. Record Keeper. Without looking it up on Google, who is that? Do you have a name for that guy?
Record Keeper guy? No name.
Okay, Mr. Record Keeper, give me the exact rushing total of the leading rusher in the NFL history right now.
Good point.
Do you even know who it is? Secondly, give me the exact rushing total without Googling it. You can't. Nobody knows it. NFL record. Nobody knows. Nobody gives a rip, right? Do they really care? Every generation's different. You know, the records are going to change. I mean, you can't go back to, you know, people go back and compare, like, oh, how, can you believe this receiver's not in the Hall of Fame? I mean, look how much better his record or his statistics are than Lynn Swann and Jarrell Stallworth. Like, it's different eras, man. It's just, it's a different game. It changes. It evolves.
Yeah, listen, record-keeping guy, the NFL is about ready to announce a bunch of TV contracts that are going to see a 70 to 100% increase.
Yeah, let's talk about records.
Paid before.
Let's talk about records.
But let's turn down that extra money because we're going to be giving people more football because we want to preserve the sanctity of the NFL record book.
Mm-hmm.
Where have you been living lately?
Yeah.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.